Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
We're live from Manchester Friday. It's Graham and Nick.
Good afternoon. How are we? It's a lovely day in Manchester. The energy is ecstatic. We're about to literally see the parade. It's just so much good vibes, so much family. Everyone's just having a good time, and you should be here.
It's so loud. Let's move past this bit quickly. It's too loud. Coming up on the show, live from Manchester Pride today, as we walk down the street, we're going to be catching up with Bewitched.
C'est la vie.
Double denim inbound. It's more speakers. Keep moving.
There's also a lady already having a good time. They're literally only, I will say, she's literally giving a bra and some pants, and I'm living for her.
Oh, that lady there.
Yes. Oh my God.
She is living her best life there, isn't she?
It's only Saturday afternoon and everyone looks absolutely ready for a lovely weekend.
That was a very polite way of putting it.
We have some breaking news,
Graham.
Oh, Graham.
Yeah, we got some goss here. Let's move away from these big fans.
I know.
It's difficult to know where to stand. We're just moving the three of us around. Me, Nick, and producer Joe here. So, Nick, there's been an announcement about Billy Porter. I was trying to get Billy Porter for interview, but what's the tea?
You know, it's crazy, and you know, we love him and support him.
Apparently,
he has pulled out due to illness, so he will not be at Manchester Pride this evening. But we do have the amazing Leanne from Lil Mix. She will be a big support. And of course, to everyone who is big fans of Billy, we know you couldn't come to support him, but please send him some love. Jump on Instagram, show him some love on Twitter, and of course, you know, we just love our black queer icons.
We do love our black queer icons. So what was the, right, I mean, let's get into the actual tea on this, because we haven't got anyone from the press team around us to stop us. What's gone on with Billy?
I think he decided to, he's like, you know what, I'm just going to have some Yorkshire tea and some biscuits in Leeds and not come to Manchester.
Right, okay.
And that's fine.
And by Leeds, you mean he's still in the US?
Still in the US.
That's what you mean. But that would have been
the
great to see.
The flight did not depart Newark Airport, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
It's still on standby.
So, we are going to be chatting to some of the stars. Bewitched. If you can't have Billy Porter, Bewitched on the show. I'm crossing over to my mate and yours, Paris Monroe, legend,
icon, trailblazer. Let's get into it.
I've left Nick Charles. I've left All the Madness. I've come into the media centre. They've given me a lovely little business room, a little business suite with like a little fax machine. It's very 90s. Fax machine there. Tea and coffee on tap. Thanks, Manchester Pride Management. Joining me is Paris Monroe, broadcaster, legend, all-round good egg. Hi, Paris.
Oh, I love that you call me a legend and a good egg. That's really cute.
You're both legend and good egg. Right now, I am in the media centre is at the Marriott, kind of near Mayfield Depot, kind of next door to that. Paris is over the other side of town right now, sort of Deansgate-y kind of area. How's it been so far for you? It's always a mad busy one for you, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you'll always catch me at Pride parades. I love the environment. I love the vibe. I love how you've got so many people from different walks of life coming to celebrate, coming to, you know, really, really show face, show support, show their friends, their family, and, you know, their co-workers that they are there for them. They are there for the community, because it's one thing being, you know, saying, hi, I'm an ally, and then actually being there to support, being there to stand up for you when you're not in the room. And this makes a hell of a difference, especially with what's going on right now in the world and in the UK.
The whole world, it seems like at the moment, it's. I can think of no other time like it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have imagined this had happened in our lifetime, that we're in the sort of situation that we're in generally, and we'll come to that in a sec. What does Manchester Pride mean for you personally, as like a broadcaster, part of the community, somebody who's got real kind of roots in Manchester? What does it kind of mean to you? Because I jokingly slag it off and say I'm allowed to. I'm from the Northwest, I'm allowed to do that. But I do have like an emotional connection to this Pride in particular. What about you?
I definitely have a very, very close emotional connection to Manchester Pride. So I left a very, very small town, Northampton, to pursue a life and, you know, move to the big city. So I moved to the big city in 2012, and I've been here ever since. So during my second year of uni, that was the first time I ever went to Pride, and it was like the most eye-opening, beautiful, awakening moment for me. It just feels like home. Manchester Pride feels like home. And you're surrounded by so many people that get it, that accept you. And it really, really is a beautiful thing, especially when you see so many people and, you know, all the flags as well, the non-binary, binary flag, the trans flag, the LGBTQ plus flag, that, you know, with the progression on it. It's really, really heartwarming. Yeah. And Pride for me is super important, not only because I'm part of the community, but also it's a massive deal in terms of human rights. You know, we're still having to fight that at the moment. Yeah. And something like Manchester Pride in this beautiful city is really, really showcasing, one, amazing talent from the community, but two, we are here to stay and we're not going anywhere. And it's beautiful to see so many people showing up, like thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. You know, the streets are packed. So many people wearing their fine colours, amazing outfits, glitter everywhere, you know, for the boas, the drag queens. It's amazing. Like, I love it. It really feels like a safe space for me.
Good. Like, as someone who is trans non-binary, you talked about when you arrived in Manchester in 2012 and you've gone through full transition in that time to where you are today. Do you feel supported by Pride in Manchester this year? Do you feel like things are going in the right direction in terms of showing the support to the community? Because I have this theory that, like, for some people, we'll name no names, and it's not aimed at Manchester Pride, but I think some people, some sections of the community can be a bit performative like that. How have you found it?
Yeah, you can definitely see it, especially on social media. You know, some people, some companies being like, hi, I'm waving the flag to show support. But really, it just feels very showboaty for the moment. Yes. for Pride, for the season, for the parade. Which is nice to show support and all, but, you know, you've got to do it day in, day out, not just for Pride or the season. I feel like in terms of Manchester Pride, they could do a hell of a lot better. I'm going to be honest with you. They don't show, I feel, in my opinion, enough support for people of colour and trans people. Mm-hmm. It tends to be a lot of white, cis, gay, male focus. There is an improvement, don't get me wrong, on showcasing and putting a spotlight on talent that is from the you know, POC community, but they need to do a hell of a lot better, because the community isn't just white.
No, it's not. And we say this time and time again, everything seems to be kind of designed for people that look and sound like me, like cis, white, gay men. And it's easy for that group, who have historically been marginalised, talking 80s and 90s, and that does still happen sometimes, but it's easy for that group, my group, to forget sometimes that we are actually quite privileged by comparison to the way other people are treated sometimes. And I think some people do forget. Like, this year, Pride in Manchester comes at a time when LGBTQ plus rights are under pressure, both here and globally. Do you think it manages to be a party, a protest, a platform still? Which of them things is it? Or is it still more party than anything else?
In my personal opinion, I feel that it's become a lot more focused on the commercial side, a lot more focused on the money-making side, and less of the protest, less of the meaning. It feels like, oh, let's pay 30, 40 quid for a concert, mm-hmm. and we'll have a Pride parade as well. It feels like it's very... what's the word?
Commercialised, like, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, exactly. And it's really sad, and you'll probably find that whoever you ask may have the same opinion. It's really interesting as well how, if you go back in time in history. What was it? London Pride has only been going for 50 years. How long has Manchester Pride been going for? It's not that long ago that it was criminalised. How wild is that?
Mm-hmm.
That was only like 50 odd roughly years ago or so. We've got such a long way to go yet. Yeah. And it's really bizarre as well, how we were moving in the right direction, yet we are now taking so many leaps backwards in terms of rights for the trans community. Particularly trans women get affected a hell of a lot more than trans mask presenting people.
Mm-hmm.
The whole issue with bathrooms as well at festivals can be quite anxiety ridden for me,
yeah.
But more so in particular for trans women, and also as well, I'm starting to notice something here. We always say we're all in this together. We are a community. We're here for each other. We've got to hold each other up. And it's so, so important that we do that. And if they come for one, they come for all. And I'm starting to see that very slowly but surely, how, you know, queer marriage is now in some parts going backwards.
In the US, just, are we talking about here? Yeah, it's up. It's, yeah, it's a question, yeah,
exactly.
Again, isn't it? Yeah.
And that frightens me. And that frightens me because not only are the trans community affected, but also now another part of the community is going to be affected, and then another part will. And it's a domino effect. And if we continue to let this happen to our entire community as a whole, we are going to cease to exist at some point if we let that happen. So I feel like it's super important how, yes, some people may not agree that the T belongs in LGBTQ+, because it's different, it's not a sexuality, etc., etc. However, we are, let's call it, we are a team, right?
Yeah.
And you're only as strong as your weakest team member. So if we are just going to let the wolves hunt down the lambs, the lambs are gone, they're coming for the next, you know, weakest, and then the next weakest. And we've got to protect each other no matter what. It's actually alarming how we're in 2025 and we're still having to have the conversation.
I feel like they're trying to split us up as a community. It's the oldest trick in the book, isn't it? People who want to kind of take away our rights. Firstly, they split us up and make kind of like sometimes older cis gay men kind of like, well, I don't agree. Gender identity, that was never a thing. Okay, so you split people there and you keep the split going. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we can't stand up for each other. And I totally feel that. It's so interesting that we've just brought up same-sex marriage in the US, because I'm getting married in a month. I'll see you there.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Tonight is my stag do. It's happening.
Oh my
You're
goodness.
There. What time are you turning up at DILF? We're going to DILF later on. Nick Charles is DJing. What time are you showing your face? And a stag do. I never thought I'd have one.
Well, do you know what? First of all, congratulations on finally getting married.
Finally.
And yeah, such a beautiful couple. By the way, I'm very, very excited to be able to see you, for one, because it's been ages, and two, to really like celebrate you and your life and your partnership. And you know, it really is couples' goals to see you folks so happy.
That's
and
so cute. Thank you.
It gives me hope as well, in the community, that there are people out there who actually love and care for other people, and that's what I strive to find in a relationship. So I want what you've got, basically.
So,
which I think I have.
Well,
I feel like I have.
Yes.
But yeah, absolutely. Gonna maybe, I don't know, 11 o'clock. Is
11
that
o'clock.
Too early?
Oh my god, is that too early? Where are we, Madrid? When I heard that Nick's not DJing until 12, I was like, 12? I'm in bed by 12, so I don't know how I'm gonna manage. Well, I'm sure I'll manage. Paris, thanks so much. I know you're really busy today. Thanks for joining us on our satellite link from the other side of Manchester. It's the brilliant Paris Monroe, mate. I'll see you in a bit.
See you in a bit.
We are live at Manchester Pride in the Press Centre. We've come back because we're doing something a bit special. And I thought we should do this to pay kind of like homage to a show that began in Manchester in the late 90s. 1999 was when Queer as Folk went on air on Channel 4.
You were what, 15?
I was 15, 16. Well done.
Oh, look at that.
I thought you were going to be like, you were 28 at this point.
Fossil, dead to the world.
So the show was so groundbreaking. I can honestly say, at the beginning of that series, I watched it as a teenager in the front room in my mum and dad's house in Liverpool. And then by episode 3, I'd come out. I remember my dad walking in while it was on and going, what are you watching this for? And I was like, couldn't turn over the TV quick enough. And honestly, that show brought me out the closet, brought my ex-boyfriend that you'll be meeting later, Nick, I won't say his name, out the closet, and so many memories. And it made me want to move to Manchester. It sold the idea of Canal Street to me as just being, this is where you can be your authentic self. And so I just found out a fact. I know you're a bit younger than me and it won't have had the same impact. But like, gays my age, like, just if you're like just hitting 40, it will have made such an impact on you. But Russell T Davies, obviously a legendary UK screenwriter. I didn't realise you were in one of his shows.
Yes, I was. So, as you might know, there was a series that literally was focused on Canal Street as well, called Cucumber. It was part of a three-part story. So I can't physically remember the rest of it right now.
But it was different sections of the community, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I was in a section in Cucumber, where I was an extra, which is interesting is because they used to have a bar on Canal Street called The View of the Canal.
Yeah.
It's literally it's been changed into a club now called Maya. It used to be really fun.
Is it the one that's down by the water?
Yeah,
used to be Eden for all us old
back days. In the day. It used to be, and then they kind of reinvented the, if you know, Mantos, which was a part of like Manchester culture.
That was incredible.
Back in the day, you had Spirit, all these bars, which was kind of like focused in those films, and they kind of recreated, because of course those bars have changed names to brand new different, same bar, just different name as and different hands and stuff. But as the years progressed, the story of Canal Street and finding itself and stuff was always very prominent in those stories. And from watching Queer as Folk, the UK and US version, which was very, very, very...
They were very different, weren't they?
Yeah, very different, but they all seem to lead back to what it stands for. Community, finding yourself, especially during that time frame of, you know, when it had no laws still for anybody who was still coming out.
So that was... in the era Queer as Folk came out, we still had another 4 years of Section 28. Yeah. I was in school watching that when Section 28 was a thing. We weren't allowed to talk about homosexuality, as it was termed in that. What we're going to do now is we've got a bit of a throwback to Queer as Folk, seeing as we're here in Canal Street for Manchester Pride 2025. Let's reminisce with the best bits of the show.
What a throwback.
If there's blokes kissing right, don't stare. And if there's men that look like women, don't stare at them either. Just don't look.
The thing about Alexander, saying he's a bit camp is like saying he's a bit naughty.
Oh my God.
You really want me to stay?
Yeah.
You two, you're like a married couple.
Except we're not f***ing.
That's a married couple.
Did I mention I've got a baby?
I mean, it's brilliant, but it's weird.
How many men's had sex in here?
27 million.
Oh my God.
Some boys don't come out of the closet, they explode.
We were in the parade earlier on. The parade is on here at Manchester Pride between 12 and 3. Yeah. And we popped down there with our microphones hidden under our coats just to bring this to you. So let's check in with us earlier on. What a scene this is. What an absolute scene. Describe a little bit what we can see here at the Manchester Pride Parade.
I always feel like seeing the parade every single year is always very fun, because you just literally see people, like, you know, Pride has always been a process, and just seeing people out in their numbers, and especially like flying like the trans flag, which is so important right now, because as you know, the trans community is so
under attack
for no reason either. They're just trying to survive, and you know, just seeing so many flags about trans healthcare and life, and you know, and there's so much countries as well that don't have, you know, Pride, especially like where I'm come from.
Let's move back a little bit, because I think we're gonna stop being able to hear us. We're so right in the middle of it here.
In the middle of everything. It's crazy. Yeah, and there's so much like countries that don't have like, you know, pride and stuff. Like for someone like me who comes from a country like Trinidad, as you know, that don't have any gay laws, this is like, for me, this is such an emotional moment, and I just absolutely love being here.
What is on this float that's coming past now? I'm dying to see this. So there's a float in the middle of the street with a big bank of speakers.
It's also a tractor.
It's a tractor.
Yeah. Look, oh, wait. It's a literally GBC tractor.
It is. There's a tractor float here. Who's on that?
We love that.
I don't know who even that is. Okay. What I love.
It's UK Pride Colour Guard. But I have no DJs.
No idea what that is.
But
random float.
We support it. We support it.
We support it all because we're here. What I love as well, the police presence here. This is one of the times of the year when I feel like the police are actually really nice.
Because I'm pretty sure.
Not that they're not normally.
No. I'm pretty sure that they tend to not want to get involved sometime in stuff like this, because I feel they need to be like neutral to certain things. But
that's
it's
true.
Nice to see their out in their numbers and abundance, keeping the community safe, of course.
Yes, that's fair enough. Okay, so this has been quite the experience here, right in the middle of it, a little bit of a quieter period now.
Yeah.
It's Graham, Nick, in the middle of the Manchester Pride Parade.
I know.
What street are we on?
We are currently on Sackville Street.
Sackville and Whitworth Street. We're handing back to us.
Hi.
Yes.
We're live at Manchester Pride 2024. It's
2024. 2025. Graham, I think it's because the last Pride you was at was 2024.
That's true. No, it was 2023 actually.
Even worse.
It was this one with you in 2023, and I was too tired by about 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got so much still to come live from Manchester Pride 2025. We have got in the next hour. We're going to be linking up with the dressing room.
Yes.
Of Bewitched.
Woohoo!
And we've been talking with each other about whether I dare ask a question about double denim. I mean, surely that's their brand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that was the thing they're known for back in the heyday. So
we'll have to run it by them. We'll see how that goes down.
Save it for the chat.
Save it for when we're on, and we're on. Jay Sky joins me, and honestly, this is your fifth year at Manchester Pride. You must be doing something right. How does it feel to be back?
It sounds like I'm getting old when you say that, but I'm very excited. It's a big number 5, especially in gay years, but this is a big year to be a part of Pride as well. It's the first time we're going to see the new edition of Mardi Gras happen, and I'm absolutely buzzing to be a part of that. That's really exciting.
It is exciting, that, isn't it? What's I don't know the reasoning behind why they've put Mardi Gras on. Can you tell me why? Because I just come to
Obviously.
It this year, and I'm like, wow, it's like twice as big.
The whole event's got bigger. Obviously, Manchester Pride is a huge thing that takes over the city. And with it being so big, a lot of people have a lot of opinions. And so, as you can see, over the years, it seems to have evolved to try to satisfy as many people's needs as possible, as well as its core mission, which is actually as a charity that people forget. Obviously, the message is as a protest and a party, but it does a lot for like grassroots organisations. And I think one of the key messages really is around not only getting people to come down with big names, but also getting people from the actual community on those big stages too.
Yeah.
So they kind of tried to tick, from what I can gather, they've tried to tick both boxes. They've got the Gay Village Party and they've got the Mardi Gras, and it's just a way to not only manage expectations and demand, but to make sure that everyone gets what they want out of Pride.
Yeah, sure. I remember.
But obviously,
I
can't speak on behalf of them.
I know, you're not here as a spokesperson for them. They would have sent one if we could. But yeah, no, I see that. Yeah, like a few years ago, I remember the Ariana Grande. Yeah, like an incredible lineup, but there's some people moaning, as people will moan and go, oh, it's not two communities. You do get the best of both worlds.
They always moan.
Yeah, but they do, don't they? I was moaning at the start of this run of this show. I was moaning, going, oh, Manchester Pride is not what it was. And then within like half an hour, I'd done a complete U-turn and decided that I'd missed it from when I was younger. And I think it's
what does that even mean, though? Like what it used to be? Like no Pride will ever be
that's
the same.
That's true. I know. But I feel like we've all got a kind of emotional connection to Manchester Pride in a way that I don't know if a lot of people have to say London Pride, because it's so vast. But Manchester, it feels so special in kind of like me coming out as a queer youth, coming over from Liverpool and being able to. I know you can be queer in Liverpool, that's fine. But I find my tribe in Manchester, and I always come to it and I have these really high expectations because I've had such a good time back in the day. You've always said that you never saw anyone like yourself on stage when you were younger. What makes Manchester Pride different and special to you personally, I guess, as a queer person of colour?
Well, I'm a proud Mancunian. I was born and bred in Manchester, and it took me a while to come to terms with who I was.
Yeah.
But when I say things like that, it's because when I first started to go out in the village in Manchester, I had a lot of trouble getting into clubs.
Right.
They'd say things like, you have to be a member to get in, and then...
Which was a lie, wasn't it, often?
It was always a lie.
Yeah.
Because I'd say, okay, how do I become a member? Like, I'd be quite forthright about getting in. And I'd be like, show me on the website, I've got it on my phone right now. Like, they wouldn't budge. But then people that weren't particularly like me would have no problem and they could waltz in. Or sometimes I'd have to play the game and try and, like, make sure that I was with enough people that weren't the same complexion as me, or
right.
I'd have to, it'd be difficult, and also the interactions I'd have within the clubs with security, with bar staff, even with other punters,
yeah,
was always challenging. So I never really felt comfortable. So I made a name for myself on the straight scene, going to like Z-list clubs and yeah, getting in with some of the people off reality TV before making a name for myself that way. So with the whole idea of a Manchester Pride, it was always like a pipe dream, because I was proud of who I was, but it didn't feel like Manchester and that scene was, so I had to do a bit of work to get
the
there.
village gay scene kind of thing, because there is historically, I think,
absolutely,
there's a lot of work's been done. I'm going to say that for them, because I presume there has been a lot of work done,
yeah,
but there were some incidents,
yeah, yeah,
particularly I remember a few years ago there were some incidents of, like, there are lots of queer venues, we're all on a journey, but there were some incidences,
right,
of racism like there are in queer venues across the country, and we're trying to work on that. I know that, but you were obviously,
right,
at the receiving end of that. Do you think Manchester and the gay scene in Manchester's been on a bit of a journey with that?
I mean, I don't really know the answer to that, and I cannot say whether it was racism or not. All I can say is I had issue with getting in and being treated differently.
Yeah.
Whether that's a personal thing or whether that's racism,
okay,
I can't read people's minds.
Okay.
I hate to throw labels,
okay,
around on people,
well,
and also with
we'll
racism.
Leave that,
it's like,
I think we should leave,
yeah,
that for other people to decide, shouldn't we? Because we,
sure,
can all, you know,
sure,
we all know kind of... we've seen stuff like that, and I feel like people,
right,
have maybe done work. It's a real thing, isn't it, though, to be there on stage in the village,
yes,
in the biggest event,
yeah,
on the queer calendar in Manchester, and one of the biggest and most sort of loved prides in the world, isn't it?
Massive. And Manchester is a home of a lot of talent, a lot of great artists that are going to be on that stage, and I'm really proud to be a part of that lineup, and hopefully as many people will come and support it as well, because by buying a ticket, they are supporting a lot of the communities that do get funding from the Manchester Pride charity.
You've got a new single, haven't you? And are we going to be able to see that being performed? Tell us about it and tell us what to expect on your performance on the Mardi Gras stage.
Oh, thank you. So I've got a new single called Put It Pon Dem. It is a dancehall-infused R&B,
nice,
hip-hop, bop, and it features an artist called Sebastianelli, who's killing it at the moment. And you might see him join me for that very performance, but I'm also going to be doing one of my favourite singles, which always gets a good reaction, which is called Legs. And yes, I will be getting my legs out for it.
Those famous legs. I've seen them legs.
Those pins, the old
those,
pins.
Those pins, I love that.
The rickety pins. I've already started shaving them already, just in time.
But I'd have to start. If I was shaving mine for Pride, I'd have to start on, like, Tuesday. It
yeah,
takes me
process.
That long to do. Listen, I'm so happy to have spoken to you today. I've been following you on social media for ages. When can people see you on the Mardi Gras stage, by the way, if they're headed there?
So I'm on at 4:30 on Saturday at the Mardi Gras stage. Get there nice and early, because it probably will get busy. But also, if you forget anyone's time, you can get the Manchester Pride app, and it's got like a lineup there, and you can favourite your favourite artist on the app.
Okay.
And then it'll tell you a reminder of when to go to the right stage, so you don't miss out on anything.
It's like Glastonbury. Isn't it?
Well,
honestly,
it's better. It's much better.
It's
yeah,
better than Glastonbury, and it's handier. You don't have to sleep in a tent. Jace Guy, thanks so much. Good luck with the performance.
You're a legend, Graham. Thank you.
We found the quietest spot we can find. We're by streetcars.
Cool. I know.
We're outside streetcars.
And also, one of my favourite takeaways. So let me give you a little backstory.
Crunchy fried chicken.
Summer 2015, when I first came out and realised that I was a little gay boy, I literally found myself and found my friends in there for the first time. I found so many queer friends, like, just
in the chicken shop,
buying 2 a.m. chicken. And I'm still friends with those people to this day.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
If you've just joined us, you've missed loads.
You have missed loads.
Graham Smith. I'm joined by Nick Charles from
part of Manchester Pride, which is wild. And also, can we just say, there's something about
Do you not find the boys and girls just look good today?
Everyone looks on top form, don't they?
I don't know. Oh. I mean, as a person in a very committed relationship...
You always say this before you make these comments.
I can still watch and see what's on the menu. You know when you're hungry, you don't eat everything on the menu. You have one thing, right?
Okay. Right, we are live on the radio from Manchester Pride until 8 o'clock tonight. It's my stag weekend.
Oh my God, wild.
What a crazy idea for them to say, yes, you can go to Manchester Pride on your stag weekend.
Yes.
But like, who writes the rules for this stuff? How does a gay stag even happen?
I don't know. I want to know who said yes to this. I was like, not only you will come to Manchester for Pride, but for your stag do. And you're like, well, we're doing this. And you're like, yes, I have to. My poor liver, my poor heart, I can't sleep. What's going on? I'm a last ends, honey.
Well, you've got to find the energy to make it through the stag do tonight and DJ at midnight.
We'll find a Red Bull.
We'll all be fine. So that is going on. There's a lot of... I think that the bosses will be listening, probably a little bit twitchy at times, checking that we've all turned up and that everything's okay. You know, I can tell you that no alcohol has been consumed. We are with you.
We have drink
coffees
a matcha
alone.
But also, you know what I just saw? Also, we're also a chicken shop right now, and it says fried food. So now what we've done is love, come in and buy fried foods. Look at that. So they changed the pride to fried food.
Oh, I love that.
I love how even the chicken shop is getting involved in pride celebration.
Well, that's it. With Manchester Pride, everyone gets involved. Oh, should we head down to... We'll head down to... That's New York,
yes,
down there.
With a Pink Pony Club.
Let's join
the
Pink Pony
Club. Let's see if we can find
Chaperone. Let's see if she's in there.
Cast your mind back to the 90s. Think double denim. We're about to link up with their changing room. They're on tonight.
Thank you for having me here. We're actually really excited to be involved. We've not played Manchester Pride before. We love our Pride gigs. We love promoting equality. And the really important thing is for the community to get together and keep turning up as well. It promotes the struggle that we have for equality within the community, but it also, in that space, it creates an environment where acceptance is there for even just a few hours from everybody who's turned up, everyone who's trying to highlight change, who's trying to celebrate everybody's right to be who they are. And so to be asked to be part of that is really exciting for us.
Bewitched have always been embraced by their queer fans, haven't they?
We really have, yes. I think it goes both ways. I think our music kind of, it celebrates just enjoyment and freedom, I think, and in pride moments, that's what we want on those celebrations, is to really be inclusive on that day and celebrate that day. So it really is important for everyone to keep joining in and coming to the celebrations in order for them to continue. There are actually still some tickets available for Saturday night. We're on at 10. It's late. It's like way past my bedtime.
Yeah, mine too.
But if people still want to come down, it's not too late.
You can't say Bewitched without someone mentioning double denim. Did you have any idea at the time that those outfits were going to become sort of so iconic?
Not at all. Like, I actually think it's really unusual. Are we 26 years ago? And 26 years later, people still associate us with a piece of clothing. And the funny thing is, Status Quo were the first band to do it. But so I wonder if any of them are like, that's just not fair. We just did not get that.
Did not know that.
Platform. But it is, in some ways, it's lovely. Like, certainly back in the day, we were working 16, 17 hours a day. So to throw on a pair of jeans or a denim jacket and be ready for work was definitely a welcomed uniform at the time. But it is amazing. If we don't wear denim, people are genuinely disappointed.
I bet they are. Do you have a message from Manchester Pride this year to our listeners all over the country?
I think the message would be come along, continue to be part of it, continue to be part of the acceptance, part of the change, part of the highlighting awareness of what we need for equality in this country. And just come along and enjoy being part of it as well, because it's a fun way to basically create a platform for acceptance and change. So come down and be part of it, don't forget.
Absolutely is, and we'll see you there later on tonight. Keavy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Graham.
Live at Manchester Pride 2025, my good friend Nick Charles is with me.
Can I believe it's literally Manchester Pride? Another year has rolled around. But you know what's beautiful about this as well? I feel like every single time I come to Pride, I just remember there are people before me that came in Pride that had to go through so much trial and tribulations for me to be able to live this life and be so free. So every time I come to a Pride, I always remember my especially people like Alan Turing. I know we talk about it all the time, but he literally was a pioneer.
A hero.
Absolute
and
icon.
A Manchester-based hero as well.
Indeed.
Let's keep walking up the street because I want to make the most of these final moments that we've got. It's been... I just want to think, like, this has been an incredible experience. My first Pride I ever came to is Manchester Pride. And I always say that it never lives up to the things that you experience when you were in your youth. Yeah. But I think this one just feels so special. It's the stag do, it's doing the show, it's kind of... There's a lot of reasons for us to be here. Let's keep moving. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons for us to be here this time around. Think of the trans community, the attacks they're under. Yeah. It really means something to everyone for you to show up and show your support at these Pride events. Yeah. What about Virgin Radio Pride 2025? We're nearly at the end.
I had my penultimate show last night, which is crazy. We're literally almost in the end. We have one more show left, which is going to be insane. And I feel like, you remember when I started at Virgin Pride last year? I was just like, very young presenter, but been doing it for a while. But I really came into my own. And because of Virgin Radio UK and the staff that literally supported me, I literally become the queer presenter I was made to be. It's such a lovely moment. I know, let's cry. Cue the sad X Factor music.
Get the onions. Let's keep moving and just take this in. So this is the time of night where, let's stop here, people are taking pictures. This is the time of night where literally it is at the most vibey point in Pride.
I know.
We're at peak Pride. Everyone's going out later on.
Yeah.
What time are you DJing?
I am DJing at midnight till 4. So if you need to have a little nana nap, have a Red Bull, get out, come support Dilf. It is sold out, but if you be nice to me, I can probably get you in.
Okay, I don't even want to know what we have to do to be nice to you. Right, this has been such an epic show today. We've had such a ball doing this. If you get the chance, pop down to Manchester Pride or your local Pride.
Yes, of course.
And I guess this is it. This is us signing out for 2025. Live from Manchester Pride.
Virgin Radio Pride, it's been lovely in Manchester. Well, me and Graham are going to have a lovely little tea. Because, you know, we need it.
We do.
A little Yorkshire tea. And we will see you soon.
I'm not going to lie. I need to go home and have a little sleep before we head out later. What an experience it's been. Graham and Nick signing out.
Bye.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.